And I had some money laying on the top of my desk. And I happened to notice on the back of my $5 bill the little phrase, "In God we trust." And I just began to ponder that for a moment. I asked myself, you know, I wonder how often we really reflect on that little phrase on the back of our money. To be honest, I think most of us and most of the world is far more familiar with the power of money than with the power of God. I think most people are far more familiar with money's usefulness than the value and the usefulness of God in our everyday life. So I thought it would probably be a good idea to do a series on the source, on God Himself, to help us understand and maybe comprehend just a little bit more how relevant God really is to our everyday lives. Because to be frank, I don't think many people ponder the relevancy of God very often. What comes to your mind when you think of God? You ever pondered God very long? Have you ever thought, what is God? Who is God? And what is God like? And why should I trust God? And what relevancy does it have to my life at all? Well, all of those things are things, quite honestly, that I reflect on every day of my life. There's not a day that's gone by in the last 20 years of my life that I have not gotten up exuberant with the fact that God is involved in my life, and at any time, at any moment of the day, I can talk to Him, I can interact with Him, and that He is working in my life. That doesn't mean that every day I've been happy and content. I'm just saying that there hasn't been a day that's gone by that I haven't been aware of the fact that my life is meaningless without God. I say this when I say aware of the fact, I would say I'm as aware of the fact of God in my life as I am when I would go to the gas station that I need money to put gas in my car. And you know what that feeling is? If this has ever happened, it's happened to me a couple times in my life where you forgot your billfold and you didn't check till you'd already filled the tank. And then you're asking yourself, what am I going to do? Or I had this happen once at the grocery store. You get all the trouble to get the cart full of stuff. You got it all ready to go, all bagged, and then you go to look for your money and it's not there. There's probably, I look at my checkbook every day. I write a check for something. Every day of our lives, 365 days, money is being used for some reason. We interplay. There is this relationship that we have with money and we understand it. But I would dare say that very few people understand this relationship between God and man and its relevancy to our lives every single day. And I ask myself this question, why don't we get God more involved in our lives? Why is it that as Americans, or just as human beings, we fail to involve God more in our lives? I concluded, because we fail to see and understand the value of God and the awesomeness of His power and the relevancy of Him to our world. Since we were very small, most of us in this auditorium, since we were very small, our society has taught us that God is irrelevant. We've been taught that. Maybe no one said those words. See, maybe no one walked up to us in kindergarten and said, God is irrelevant. We just can't pray. Maybe no one has said, God is not powerful. We've just been told the world wasn't made by Him. Everything in our world leads us to the conclusion that God is not relevant to my life. And that man is left to his own devices to deal with and to cope with and to handle life. Now, if you're like me, and I'm sure we're very similar because we're human beings, we share the same human experience. I am regularly overwhelmed by life. Regularly. I am regularly confronted with the breadth of my responsibilities as a husband and as a father. And times I'm distressed by it. At times it's too weighty for me to bear. I am overwhelmed when I look at the world I live in. I don't know what you were doing this last week or what you're aware of or not aware of, but when the story came out of the little 6-year-old girl that had been had her brains beaten out by her mother against a concrete wall because her mother thought she was possessed by Satan, I was greatly overwhelmed by that. The whole city of New York City mourned this little girl's life. Everyone knew that she was being abused and no one did a thing about it. When I read this last week of the people who killed a mother and robbed the baby from her womb, I was overwhelmed by the world I live in. When I see what's going on by our politicians, the broken promises, the vacillation, the uncertainty, I'm overwhelmed. I am simply overwhelmed by what I see going on in my world. And I want to tell you right now, if it was not for God and the refuge of strength that He is in my life, I simply would not be able to cope. And so what we do, you see, and you say, oh, Mark, well, you're a lot farther gone than I am. I don't think so. I think you misunderstand when I say I would not be able to cope. What I mean is, it's not necessarily that I would go over the deep end, only there are certainly times that I feel that way. But man has found unique ways to cope without God. But those ways are not enhancing his life. Those ways are not being a benefit to our world. One way we cope is we pretend the world is not as bad as it really is. We just pretend. We live in a fantasy. We just live in a fantasy world. We go into our nice little houses and our nice little neighborhoods and we just, everything's so safe and it's anything but safe. Oh, I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm really not. I'm just trying to help you understand how important it is that God is involved in our world. Or when you see what's going on our political spectrum, when you see the freedoms that are being threatened to take away from you, well, many of us, we just pretend they're not. We just pretend things aren't really as bad as they are. When we look at our own lives and we're confronting things as a couple in our marriages, or we're confronting things with our children, it's very easy for us to take the ostrich mentality of life and stick our head in the sand and pretend everything's just fine. Or we find other ways to cope. We find other balms for our wounded soul. And that might be pleasure, that might be alcohol, it might be drugs. It just might be pleasure, it just might be a hobby. It just might be something we obsess ourselves with. When all the while, God is standing by wanting to get involved in our world. He wants to get involved helping you. And I think, if many of us understood some of the things I'm going to share with you this morning, we'd be a lot more ready to get God involved in our lives. I want to read to you this morning a passage taken from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40. This is one of my many favorite passages in the Bible. And I go over it regularly because I regularly must renew my perspective. Or I become absolutely flabbergasted, frustrated, angry, and overwhelmed at the world in which I live. And so I go to Isaiah 40, where God is saying here through Isaiah, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught God knowledge and showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to nothing and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And the whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all this? He brings out the starry host one by one, and he calls each star by its name. Because of his mighty power and great strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Bob? Why do you say, O Mark? Why do you say, O Sally? O Rebecca? My way is hidden from God. My cause is disregarded by God. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not, will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I go over this probably every month, sometimes every week. And I just reflect on God. To whom will you compare God with? If you ever ask yourself that question, there's not one of us here today that is not fully aware of the fact that if it were not for the sun in the sky, we simply would not be able to exist. If one day the sun decides not to appear and it is completely gone, we would all die. We understand the relevance of the sun in our lives. Why then do we not understand more the relevance of the one who made the sun? We cannot live without him. And yet everywhere around the world we are told just the opposite. When I was reading this passage in Isaiah about the skilled craftsman who makes an idol, the idol cannot speak. Its ears cannot hear. Its mouth cannot talk. And yet an entire nation called India worships an idol. And much of the nation of Japan, much of the nation of China worships physical idols. In America, we worship idols that you cannot see with your eyes. We worship man's intellect. We worship that which man can accomplish. And none of it could have been accomplished without God, who gave man his intellect. I read a quote yesterday, it's certainly not in your biology books, by Charles Darwin. It said, when I study the unimitatable aspects of the human eye, we must realize that natural selection is of the highest absurdity. A quote by Charles Darwin. Every day we look in the mirror, we see a reminder of God. You were created in the image of God. We see the gorgeous snow that falls down ought to remind us of God. It does not. We see all around us, all that is made, it ought to remind us of God. We breathe in the free air every day that we've never been charged for. It ought to remind us of God. It does not. Our heart continues to beat in our bodies. We don't know exactly why. It just keeps going. It ought to remind us of God and our dependence upon God. I would no more, think about this for a moment, you Minnesotans. I would no more face life without God in my life and intimately involvement with Him than I would face going outside on a Minnesota winter day, 60 below with the wind chill, stark naked. To do so would be absolute absurdity. And yet, millions upon billions of people of us face life every day, and God is no more involved in our lives than if we were to walk around naked. And we wonder, why is life so hard? Why am I so distressed today? Why am I discouraged today? And so you know where America is turning today? By the millions. And I understand why. We are turning to therapy. And therapy's benefit, one of its main benefits, is that the opportunity to talk to someone about your problems, about your difficulties, about your struggles. And I understand that, and at times that may be appropriate. But let me tell you something, I would rather talk to God about them. I would rather know that in my life, I have a supernatural, the most powerful being in the universe who knows everything. He knows me inside and out. He knows my thoughts before I think them. And He can handle any problem that I bring His way. Psalm 62 says, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him. God is a refuge to us. And people will ask me, so what is the relevance of prayer? Prayer is just the language with which we speak to God. Prayer is simply that language with which we pour out our heart to God. And yet very few people, very few who call themselves Christian have a viable, relevant prayer life at all. We get up in the morning and we hurry, scurry, just like grasshoppers. When God says, you see, that all the nations are as nothing before Him, He does not mean, and the other portions of the Bible verify this, He does not mean that man and woman is worthless to Him. He means that in perspective, the nations, all of them in the world, are but the drop in a little bucket. That helps us understand God's perspective. See, God knows every single person that has ever lived. He knows them by name. He knows all of their thoughts. And in fact, He has the hair of every single person's head numbered. And He knows how many are on yours this morning. There's not a sparrow anywhere in the entire world, on this planet, or in the universe, that falls to the ground, but God does not know that it happened, and He's fully aware of it. There's not one star when you and I look up at the sky at night and we see the stars and we're just awestruck. Especially if you're able to get up to the North Woods where there are no other lights of the city. It's just awe-inspiring. Every single star that you see, God has a name for it. And if He were to call it, it would come. Because everything in the universe, except for man, because God has given man a choice, obeys God's word. Everything. When God wanted to make the world, He simply spoke it into being. Just like we see once in a while on a show like Star Trek or some science fiction movie, people actually dream about that ability. That ability to move physical objects by thinking. God just speaks things into being and they happen. God measures out the universe like we measure out a house. That's why He says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, or the breadth of His hand marked off the heavens. The heavens, all of them. The thousands upon thousands of galaxies that are out there. There's nothing that is too difficult for God. There's nothing that is beyond His understanding. There is no advice that God has ever needed for anything. God has never made a mistake in any one of your lives here today, in any of them. God is good, and what He does is good. And any perversion of what God has made has been done by man. God is infinite. God is merciful. God is faithful to everything He ever said He would do. And all through the ages, He has proven His faithfulness to one human after another. To one person after another. The Bible tells us that even the ravens know that their food comes from God. They're smarter than humans. We think we provided it. We think we got it by our own hand. And we fail to realize that without the gift of intellect, personality, and the body in which we live, we wouldn't be able to provide anything for ourselves. God is the most relevant thing in our lives. He's more relevant than our money. He's more relevant than our electricity. He's more relevant than our car. And yet we fail to see the connection. And that's why God is reasoning here with His people, Israel, in the Old Testament. He was their God. And they regularly forgot His relevance. I was reading this morning one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and it's been made a movie, is the story of the exodus of the people of Israel from Egypt. And after they're all done, and after they've crossed the Red Sea, here's a song that Moses and his sister and the Israelites sing. "I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and its rider, He is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise Him. My Father's God and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, He is hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O God, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of Your majesty, You threw down those who oppose You. You unleashed Your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of Your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, 'I will pursue and overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them.' But You blew with Your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like You, O Lord? Who is like You, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? In Your unfailing love, You will lead the people You have redeemed." This is a true thing that happened. This isn't mythology. This is in the annals of history. And what do you think it would have been like to have stood with Moses and the Israelites and to watch the Red Sea part and to walk across it? And just as you're getting across, to see a giant army wanting to gnash you with their teeth, wanting to kill your young, wanting to destroy every last one of you. And they begin chasing you through the water, and you're scared to death, and you're wondering what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, when the first horse is about to come out, and the last one is in, God allows it to close over and destroys them all. Do you know one of the reasons it says on the back of your money, "In God we trust"? If you don't, you're not very familiar with accurate history. George Washington was a man of faith. He was a man of prayer, as were the majority of the founding fathers. To gain the freedom for this country was an absolute miracle. Every bit as miraculous as what God did for the Israelites, the Red Sea. We were outmanned, outgunned, outmoneyed, a ragtag bunch of people. And if you read some of the writings of George Washington himself and some of the other generals, you'd be amazed at some of the miracles that happened under the covering of fog, rain that came right when it needed to come, in ways that protected the army from being discovered. If you read what happened at Valley Forge, you cannot walk away without an understanding that God was involved then. God wants to be involved now. God has always been involved in the world. He's involved all over the world. Many years ago, there's a group of people who started a movement known as communism. You can hardly find it anywhere else on the planet today. But only about 15 years ago, communism either controlled or influenced two-thirds of the world. No one ever thought the Berlin Wall would come down. Why do you think it came down? How do you think it came down? Well, some people knocked it down. Who do you think allowed it to happen? And for what reason do you think God allowed it to happen? So that millions of people who have never heard of His love for them could finally hear that God really isn't dead. That God is alive. That God is relevant. That God is real. I want to talk to you about that the next 2 weeks. That's what we'll be going over. It's how to get God involved in your everyday life. Because I'm telling you, as a pastor of this church, as a pastor of many, many hundreds of people, I am amazed at how distressed people are. I am amazed at how overwhelmed so many of the flock seems to be. Discouraged at times, disheartened. Their phone calls, they're alarmed at life. As if there was no God to depend upon. As if there was no God who could really solve our problems. Well, we have that God. And He loves each and every single one of you. Psalm 139, and just a couple more readings, and then I'll close this morning, says this, O Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. I want to tell you something about your life. You may have secrets from the person sitting next to you. And I may not know hardly anything about you. Or you may not know hardly anything about me. But there are no secrets with God. He searched you. And He knows everything about you. He knows what you're afraid of. He knows what you're hiding. He knows what your strengths are. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows everything. You know when I sit and when I rise, You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O God. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I flee from You, God? If I go to the heavens, You're there. If I make my bed in the depths, You're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not hide me. For the darkness is not dark to You. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is the same as light to You. For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret, when I was woven together. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me are written in Your book before any of them came to be. Men and women, do you know what a comfort it is to know that nothing in my life, nothing in your life, is by accident? God has a sovereign, wonderful plan for each and every one of your lives. It says in Jeremiah, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good, plans for welfare, to give you a future and a hope, not plans for your calamity. Now you may say to me, you may say, well, Mark, then I got you there. If God's so bright, how come so many problems, so many difficulties have happened in my life? Because it's part of God's plan. Did you know that every story in the Old Testament, in the Bible, they all started out bad? They all started out bad. Esther was a little slave girl. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the little story of the fiery furnace that maybe you heard when you were a kid, they were all slaves. Joseph, he was ripped from his family at 17, sold into slavery, accused falsely of rape, and spent 13 years of his life in prison. It was all God's plan. Don't ever misinterpret your calamities, your difficulties, as God doesn't want to do you good. God has something fantastic for you in your life if you'll wait for Him, if you'll trust Him, if you'll rely upon Him. And He can give you the confidence, my friend, He can give you the confidence to face whatever it is that's going on in your life with the utmost confidence and strength. You know what God told Joshua? Joshua 1, you can read it later. He said, Joshua, now get up, take these people to inherit the land that I told you be yours. And just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you all the days of your life. No one will be able to stand up against you, Joshua. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble and do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I review that almost daily in my life. Same God who's with Moses was with Joshua. That same God lives inside of me. And if you know Him this morning, He lives inside of you. And He wants you to face life with confidence, with assurance, and complete reliance upon Him and who He is. It's difficult to do if you don't know Him. It's difficult to do if you don't really believe in who He says He is. If you've allowed your mind to be filled with all that society says of God, wonder that your faith is really shaky. God wants to give you a strong, powerful faith. In Psalm 46, I close with this. It says, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Another version says, abundantly available for help in tight places. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth trembles, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, and the waters roar and foam. And then just a few verses later, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted in the nations. I don't care, my friends, this morning what the world's doing. This is my comfort. As I look at the paper, as I watch the news, as I watch what's going on all over the world, my hope and my strength and my confidence is this. The nations make an uproar in vain. One day God will break the bow and cut the spear in two. And He will end it all. And justice will be given. And justice will be done to every single person. And He will return just like He said He would. And He will be a brand new world order. And I'm going to be part of it. And so are you if you know Him. I cannot tell you what confidence that gives me in life. I'd like to encourage you to come back the next 2 weeks because we'll continue talking about how to get God involved in your life, how to face life with confidence, how you can confidently say, yes, in God, I trust. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning for the reality. Whether or not we believe it, Lord, You know, is no skin off Your back. You're still who You are. You still keep everything in the universe in its proper order. And if it were not for You, if we're not for You holding us together, we'd all fly apart. You help us, Lord, this morning, because I'm sure there are many of us that struggle with our doubts. We struggle in our faith, and I pray, Lord, You bring us one step closer as a result of today, maybe many steps closer for many of us, to absolute confidence in God and the reality of God and the relevance of God and the value that You are in our lives. You're the best thing, Lord, that's ever happened to me. I shudder to think what it would be like to face the frigid air of life without God in my world. Without bringing You, not as John was sharing, just in the trouble of my life, but every single day, whether things are good or whether they seem bad, You're involved. And I'm aware of that. And I'm interacting with You, and I'm trusting You. If it wasn't for that, Lord, my life would be in ruins today. And I just ask You, God, to bring home the reality of yourself in each person's life here this week. Help them to go over some of the things that we discussed this morning. Change their worldview. Encourage them and comfort them with the wonderful future that's coming. In Jesus' name, amen.